Ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by the man who was my partner for many, many years. He calls in on Mondays after the Jets usually rip our hearts out. Don't worry, we'll get to that. But we got a lot of things to talk about with Joe B, and his call is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com and by H.O. Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, how are you?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know what? Let me say this has been one of the most, I don't know if we're on the Zoom here or not, this has been one of the most fun Met years ever. What they have accomplished after the 0-5 start, after being 11 games under 500, you know, Edwin Diaz with the suspension, I mean, you know, looking dead in the water, you know, and all of that. And for this team that basically have the best record in baseball since May 30th, here we are on here now, for them to basically have the best record since May 30th in baseball is just incredible. And this has got, and Ev, let's be honest, okay, I've seen it all. You know me, I've been there since day one with the Mets, 1962, okay? Yep. This is one of the great wins ever. I mean, this game today, this is one of, to me, the greatest Met game of all time still remains Game 6 against Houston when we won the pennant in 86, the 16-inning game. To me, that was, you know, just as pressure-packed a game as you could ever have with Mike Scott looming and all of that. This game's right up there. I mean, this game is right up there, man. There's no doubt about it. And to come back, they're dead in the water against this Shellen, whatever his name is, when they never get a hit again. And let me say this too. I got to say, this guy, how obviously Lindor, you can't say enough about how phenomenal a year he's had. But Tyrone Taylor, okay, when this team is dead in the water, can't get a hit, you're like, here we go, they're going to blow it, I know it's going to happen, you know, the Jets stuck it to me yesterday, the Mets are going to stick it to me today, right? This is, you know, how else could I think? And this guy comes up with that monster hit to get everything going. I mean, I can't say enough, bro. I mean, it's just, this is one of the great wins. And I got to tell you this, though. And let me say, now I'm swearing at Diaz when he doesn't cover. First of all, I'm swearing at Phil Maton for hitting this guy to start the inning. What are you doing?
White. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then I'm screaming at Diaz not covering first again. You know, he's out of the inning basically. Pete makes a tremendous play, but for Diaz to come back, and I thought Mendoza was bringing it. No, I'm seeing Stanek in a bullpen. Yep. I'm like, he can't bring Stanek in here. You know, that ain't happening. You know, and I'm like, I guess he's going to come back with Diaz. And he did, and Diaz got the job done. Give him credit.
No doubt.
An incredible game. Incredible.
Joe, I want to ask, you still have your pants on?
My pants will stay on. Do you actually have your pants off, Ev?
Yes.
What pants are off?
Luckily, I'm losing my mind, bro.
Let me tell you something. You know there's only one time that my pants are coming off, and you know when that is.
Exactly.
All right, so we don't want to get into that, but
no, I understand.
So what has inspired you? I really can't see you. I'm looking at the back of Lugau's head, and I think I'm Oh, there we are.
Yeah. You're seeing us through this camera. Hello.
Yes.
What inspired me is that I
hope your underwear are clean. What inspired you?
Luckily, I had garments on. I have a bathing suit, Mets bathing suit on.
Oh, do you?
I wasn't sure how hot it would be. And if I got too hot, I always have a backup plan. And so once it was getting hot and this game was getting nuts, it got a lot more comfortable taking my pants off. But, you know, you said greatest. Here's what I would say that's
easy. It's up there. It's one of their best wins ever. There's no doubt about it.
I think for the regular season, this takes the cake. I don't think there's a regular season game in the history of the New York Mets that comes close. I know they won the doubleheader against the Cubs in 73.
Right.
That's a huge regular season win.
But he only played one game. They actually only played one game. They canceled
the game. They canceled the
second
game.
It was rainy and all. Seva won game. Won that first game of the doubleheader, and they wound up winning the division.
So they won that game. Obviously, the one-game playoff against Cincinnati, game 163 and 99.
Yeah, Al Leiter.
But when you look at the ups and the downs of this game and who the opponent was,
even
though they had the safety net of game two, I never viewed that as a safety net.
No safety net. That's are you kidding me? That's us hiding under the bed as we're watching that game.
Exactly.
A life or death game? Who the hell needs that? You know?
I agree. And that's why I think, I know it's in the immediacy of it, it's the greatest regular season game in the history of the Mets, and it's not particularly close. And I think you're right. When you think about all-time games, it's certainly not going to pass, you know, game six of 86, things like that. But it's up there.
No,
it's a Met moment that we experienced today, man.
Yeah, and for this team, and all year I've been screaming how this team doesn't hit. I'm screaming at Nimmo. I'm screaming at JD. I'm screaming at Alonso. They're swinging at pitches 500 feet off the plate. Alvarez. For them to get that six run, I mean, that came out of nowhere, bro.
It really did.
Yeah, I mean, are you serious? Lindor with a big hit there. Vientos got the big sack fly. Iglesias, who, you know, if Lindor's the MVP of this team, I'm going to tell you right now, Jose Iglesias is not too far behind. This guy, you basically can almost trace the turnaround of this team from when Iglesias came up and he started playing regularly with this team. He has had a magnificent year. OMG, unbelievable. He got a big hit to tie the game up. I mean, we go right out down the line. Nimmo hitting the two-run homer. But for Francisco, and I tell you, when, off the bat, Cohen didn't think it was out. Off the bat, I said, well, I think he hit this pretty good. And you could see Lindor was looking at it like, this may go. Then you realize it's gone. I mean, just incredible. Incredible.
You talk about all the guys. Francisco Lindor may not win the MVP. It doesn't matter. He's our MVP.
No question.
Considering he's on a bad back, and God knows how bad that back really is right now, for what he did yesterday in a very important game.
No question.
To come up in the ninth inning after that gut punch of imploding in the bottom of the eighth inning to hit that home run, I think Lindor has furthered himself with all Met fans that he's our guy. If this season didn't do it, this moment was that epic Met moment.
Francisco Lindor has now, you know, when I do the all-time Met team, Francisco Lindor has now gone by Jose Reyes as the greatest shortstop in the history of the Mets. I don't think there's any question about it. And he solidified that this year with this incredible year and this game-winning home run to put us in the playoffs, the most improbable playoff year, bro, that we've ever had. I mean, you want to say 69 when we won the World Series, it was improbable. But that team won 100 games, you know? And this team, it's, and I understand 73 and all of that, but this team looked like I was yelling, we're backing up the truck at the trade deadline.
I know.
It's all over. They're going to get rid of everybody. And for them to be in a play, and to me, they're dangerous. They're a dangerous team. I mean, they're playing with such – I know you don't like to hear this, but they are playing with maximum house money.
Well, Joe, who do you want to face in the wild
card? I don't want to play Milwaukee. Milwaukee gives us a lot of trouble.
So you want to win game two then? So you need to win game two
in
Atlanta? Because that's the only way that's happening.
I understand, but I'm not killing myself to win game two. I got to tell you that. I'm not going to be locked in watching game two. I've had enough after sitting in the freaking rain, Tiki, yesterday and watching my football team spit the damn bit. Okay?
Were you prepared for the rain?
I was prepared for the rain. Yes. Yeah, oh, no. Well, when I saw it was raining, they weren't, of course. I mean, your offensive line stunk. Okay, the defense giving up the running game. And let me just say this, because the coach, I don't know if I can take it anymore. He's 20 and 35. Let me just say one thing, all right? And we want to continue with the Mets, whatever you want to talk about. When it's first and goal on a one-yard line, number zero, okay, Braylon Allen has to get the football. This guy, forget about it.
You're right, because he figures out, even if there's traffic in front of him, how to get to the end zone. Breece Hall, the play was the right call, by the way. Breece just took the wrong angle. When he cut back, and just laid into the traffic as opposed to cutting into the open hole and taking on the linebacker. And he'll look at it and he'll see it. But I was surprised that Braylon Allen was not in the goal in the goal line situations.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, what do you got to be kidding? I mean, that's all on coaching. This kid, the first guy never takes him down, Teak. Never. There was even a play in the game yesterday. He only got about a yard, but he got hit in the backfield. He broke the tackle, and he wound up getting a yard where it could have been a 3 or 4 yard loss. This guy he's a north-south runner. He's got to get the ball first and goal on one. And then, of course, fourth and goal on one. What do? False start. They only had five of them yesterday. The offensive line stunk yesterday. They were in the backfield all day, the Denver defense. They beat up Rodgers. You know, Rodgers, to me, I mean, I thought he as good a game as he could play, considering he was running for his life all day. Every big play he made was out of the pocket. He even ran. He had a 13-yard run for a first down, and it looked like a designed run for about 8 yards. So I got to tell you this, though. Ev, I don't know how you feel. We're talking about the Jets.
Yeah.
Rodgers is not thrilled with this head coach.
I think there is no question about it.
The only thing I would add to that, because you're right about that, but you've seen this before. And what we know happens when Aaron Rodgers starts getting disgruntled with his head coach is it becomes chaotic around the team. That's what I worry most about it.
Yeah.
It's not that he's disgruntled with him, but he lets it be known.
But here's the difference. So Aaron Rodgers has had issues with head coaches in the past. He's had issues with Mike McCarthy.
Mike
He's had issues with LaFleur.
Yep.
But you know what the difference is? With those guys and in those situations, they were usually winning a lot more than they're losing.
Right.
And right now they're 2-2 facing two very difficult games. They very easily can be 2-4.
Hold on, 3. They got to play the Steelers on a Sunday night.
Come on,
in Pittsburgh. Layup?
No, you're right. I can't shortchange that. They can easily be 2-5. And so you're right. We've seen this before with Rodgers not being happy. But this head coach hasn't won anything. This team hasn't won anything.
He's 20-35, bro. 20-35. And I'm going to tell you this, too. If they somehow, and I'm worried about it, if they're 2-5 after the Pittsburgh game, I think he's in big trouble. I think he's in big trouble. I really do.
Solid?
Big trouble. Yes.
What are they going to do, though? I mean, you fire a coach midseason, what are you going to do?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do midseason, but I think it creates a, if they're 2-5, we know the expectation is not being met.
And right. That's
it's
right.
It's been that way for too many seasons. Now, last year you can excuse it because of the Aaron Rodgers injury and obviously Zach Wilson just not being prepared to be an NFL quarterback. But everything should have been in place this year. Everything should have worked out.
Right.
We saw it last week where they looked phenomenal against the Patriots. But then this week it's a complete 180 on what the team looks like offensively and execution-wise. Defensively, they're actually pretty good until they started giving up the run in the second half.
Well, that's a problem. I mean, that's been a problem, giving up the run, Atik. There's no doubt about it.
You're right. But they were good in the first half. It was just the second half. They couldn't do anything.
But the touchdown drive, this guy Nick stinks, okay? The quarterback stinks. And on that touchdown drive, twice, Cortland Sutton beat them in the second half. Why? Sauce Gardner, shouldn't he be covering Cortland Sutton? He's wide open in the freaking end zone, in the back of the end zone. There's nobody within 20 yards of him. Where
that
the hell
on
is
DJ?
Where is
that was
he?
That was on DJ.
How does he get that wide open?
Why is DJ covering him?
Well,
does Gardner even play? It's unbelievable.
I give Sean Payton credit for that one because it was a good play design. They had a bunch trip formation, so somebody's going to get lost when you do that. And I don't think DJ realized that he was supposed to be on Cortland until it was too late. And then ultimately, he's running free in the back of the end zone. I'd play zone there because it's just easier to keep eyes on who you need to be on as opposed to playing man, where if you get confused in that switch bunch look, all of a sudden someone's just free. And by the way, Bo Nix almost missed the throw.
No, I know. Which
No, you almost missed. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He almost missed him. And by the way, and this has to be said, okay? Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson stunk yesterday. And I am getting tired of these guys. I think these guys are a little too full of themselves. I mean, we'll start with Breece. He had 4 yards rushing. He short-armed the play where he saw the defensive guy coming up, and he decided to make a business decision. I don't think I'm going to catch this.
And it could have been a first down if he makes that play.
Right. He was horrific yesterday, and so was Wilson. He had the fumble on the first series of the game. He did make that nice catch down the sideline that they reviewed and they gave him the catch. But Surtain was on him all day.
Yep.
How about the play? I think it was the next to last drive where Rodgers throws the ball over the middle to Wilson. He doesn't even turn around.
Can
he turn around and look at the damn ball?
Their chemistry is just so off. And you would have thought that Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, like this chemistry would develop week to week. It's almost like it's gone backwards through these 4 weeks, the two of them.
Yeah. It's been these two big stars, okay, they got a long way to go. These guys are going to want to get paid. They stink right now. They stunk yesterday. Stunk.
The problem is, and it's our fault, my fault, I'll take, but we've anointed these guys.
No,
I know. They've got a lot to freaking prove.
I know.
Both of them.
I know, but like Rodgers said after the game when he said the word accountability, how about that?
Yes.
I got to hear the quarterback. I should be hearing that from the coach who's too soft. Let's be honest. He wants to be buddy-buddy with these guys. He's basically a cheerleader there. And even last week in the Patriot game when he wanted to, do the Lombada after that touchdown with Rodgers. And Rodgers like, what's going on? It's game 3. We're up by 2 touchdowns. We got the confetti coming down? Even then. So, bro, please. And
so
then, of course, and by the way, too, one more thing. And, of course, it's got to come down to the kicker missing.
Ugh.
And you know how kickers are. Some years they're Mariano Rivera, and some years they're Adam Ottavino. And right now, Ottavino actually pitched good today. And right now, this guy, I got no confidence in him. He missed that kick before halftime against the Patriots, and he missed this game winner that, you know, 50-yarder for him is winner he could certainly make.
All right, Sean has some breaking news. Go ahead.
So I don't know if you guys want blood or not. Chris Sale has been scratched from the second game with back spasms.
Wow.
I knew something was up with him. Because they kept pushing him back.
Yeah. Yep.
There's something seemed off. So who's starting for the Braves?
That Noah Maddox, but this broke within the last
I hear Greg Maddux is starting. Is there any truth to that rumor?
You know,
no.
This is now really starting to make sense. This was never our problem, obviously, because we were focused on the Mets. So when the games got rained out, and Sale was supposed to start that Wednesday game rained out, initially it comes out, you know what, Braves aren't going to pitch him until they have to.
Yeah.
And that always felt like...
Yeah, in retrospect, it's very odd.
Right, because think about what we did, the Mets did, with the ace of this team, Sean Manaea. Now, he wasn't great on Friday, but Mendy said, I'm going to... He was bad, no doubt, but I'm going to pitch him, and then, hey, if things go well, he'll be available for game two on Wednesday night. The fact the Braves kept pushing off Sale, we talked about this briefly, where it's like something seems up here. Mm-hmm. They kept pushing it back because there was something wrong with him, and now with the Braves season on the line, they're scratching him.
Yeah, and that's exactly why they said they were pushing him back. And he wasn't going to pitch until the season was on the line.
I want to jump in here just to say one thing.
Go ahead, Joe.
Because there's been a lot of divine intervention with the Mets this year. The game against Philadelphia, where the ball hit the bag in the ninth inning, would have tied the game. You know, on Sunday night when the Mets beat the Phillies at Citi, and then the two rainouts were huge. Let's be honest. The best thing that could have happened to the Mets was not having to play those two games against Atlanta. Whether Sale was playing, you know, last week, whether Sale was pitching or not, man, I did not want to play those games. I don't know how you feel, bro. I thought that was a big break for the Mets that they didn't have to play those games then.
Initially when that happened, I didn't feel that way. I was just annoyed. I wanted them back on the field as soon as possible. I thought it was going to mess with the pitching too much and all that. You texted me that. I thought about it. Another day went by. And I think it started to make a lot of sense to get out of the House of Horrors.
Absolutely.
Now, it didn't start off well because lost Friday and Saturday.
They lost two games to Milwaukee. Of course.
Yeah, I think the negative thing was what it was going to do to the pitching. Now that they've gotten out of this and Luis Severino is good to go for game one of the wild card series, I think you're right that it turned out to be a good thing. It's easy now. We can look back. I give you credit because you said it at the time. But it's easy for me to look back and say, you know what? You were right. But Sean brought something up. Tiki brought something up. And I'm curious your opinion.
Yep.
Now that the Braves are going to have to go to, who knows, Grant Holmes or something like that to pitch this game means nothing to the Mets. Right. Obviously, they got to be smart. Lindor shouldn't play.
Right.
You shouldn't use any of your high-leverage guys. But is there a part of you that says, you know what, screw the Braves, let's beat them, let's stick it to them good? How do you feel about this game now?
Well, I'd love to stick it to him and knock him out of the playoffs, but you know what, bro? I'm giddy that we're there. I mean, that's really it. I mean, if we beat them and knock him out, that's great. That's just icing on the cake. Right now, the champagne has got to be flowing right now. You know, Pete Alonso talked about a celebration. He didn't get to have one 2 years ago. And let's be honest, too. This team is better than that team 2 years ago. They got a better manager. I think there was issues in the locker room with Scherzer and DeGrom. I really do. They faded late in the year. This team is much more cohesive, and it's a whole different feel to this team than a team that won 101 games 2 years ago, as far as I'm concerned, really.
Well, they're going to be back into that playoff round, the wild card series, and depending on what they do in game two, they're either going to Milwaukee or they're going to San Diego. Not that anyone wants to look too far ahead, but if you care about, well, if we win the wild card series, who do we face? If the Mets lose the second game and go back to Milwaukee, they would be in line, if they beat the Brewers, to take on the Philadelphia Phillies in the NLDS.
Yeah.
If they win and go on to play San Diego and they win that series, they'd be in line to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know if that means anything to anybody.
Well, I hate the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers more than any team. I can't stand them. I can't stand Ohtani. Don't even get me started. I go right on down. I see the Dodgers, I want to vomit. Okay? I think maybe his interpreter just made another bet from jail. Don't get me started. But Ohtani, he's fine. Don't worry, he's okay. Don't worry, nothing to see here. But whatever. You know how I feel about that.
Yes.
Right now, I will say this. I'd rather play San Diego. Milwaukee gives the Mets a lot of trouble. They run like crazy on them. You know, what, they lose 6 out of 7 to them this year. I think they've lost like 12 out of the last 14 or something to them. I'll take my chances with the Padres. Now, the only negative with that is that I could see them starting these games at 10 o'clock at night, right? Is that
well,
possible?
So the start times have already been announced. If
Dad,
they're in San
this.
Diego, tomorrow night would be an 8:38 first pitch.
That's not
if
bad.
If they're in Milwaukee, it's a 5:30 first pitch.
Oh, even better. For that
yes.
one, starting time is better, but the team isn't better. That would
right. Game two in San Diego would also be at 8:38, with right. game two in Milwaukee being at 7:38. And then a little different in a winner-take-all game three, a 7:08 first pitch in San Diego, 8:38 in Milwaukee. So they're all relatively night
yes,
games.
That's not bad.
Except for tomorrow.
It's not like 11 o'clock when they played the Giants, you know, back in,
no.
right? Remember that 11 o'clock game, 2000,
the,
man?
Arizona
it was good for me because I was doing the overnight, but that, right. you know, not for everybody else.
No, I remember in 99 they played the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Right.
That was the Edgardo Alfonso
right.
game when he had the grand slam. And that game started at 11:10.
Didn't the same thing with the Giants the year after that when Franco stuck out Bonds in that big spot? Was
I
that
thought,
like 11 o'clock too?
I think that one was a day game. I think the night before that game, I think game two, the John Franco Barry Bonds game.
Okay.
Memory tells me that was a late afternoon game, but
all right,
I'll
maybe you might
that.
Be right. I remember doing the overnight and being there for that game late, but you might be right about it. But I do remember the 11 o'clock start in Arizona.
Yeah,
look. Whatever happens, happens. I'd love to see the Braves be out. So if we beat the Braves, then we play San Diego. Is that correct?
Correct. Mets win game two, they go to San Diego. If they lose game two, Braves go to San Diego. Mets go to Milwaukee.
And no day off at all. Tuesday,
nope.
Wednesday, Thursday.
That's right. No
Every
off
Every game
days.
On the road.
Every game on the road.
Right.
What a freaking day. Mets going to the postseason in dramatic fashion. Joe, always great talking to you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Joe.
Guys. Enjoy it, bro. Enjoy it. It's been a great
man.
Year. See you guys.